This is another iRaw podcast.
We're having a sniff party. Ophie can't really walk, but we can drive to another part of the neighborhood where there's a big patch of grass and let her just sniff new sniffs. She's having a really good time. You can do more. I believe in you. Just walk a little more. It's good for her body to move. See other dogs barking. A bicyclist just passed. It's good for her brain too. You know, that's what I'm saying. That dog's getting pissed. And now there's 15 bicyclists. This is turning. Is it too much stimulation, Ophie? Where are you going?
My name is Katya. I believe loving an animal is one of the most available portals for self-healing in the whole world. And I want to be here for you wherever you are on that journey. Welcome to the animal that changed you. Hey, buds. How are you? Me? I'm good. Thank you for asking. Why? Oh, thank you again for asking. Because you're here and we're in community talking about animals. And that makes me happy. I really like talking about animals. I really like talking about the learning of animals, the science of behavior. So I just want to put out there that you can ask me anything. You can email me at theanimalthatchangedyou@gmail.com. Theanimalthatchangedyou@gmail.com. Email me if you have any dog-related questions. You know what? No, any animal-related questions in general. Just ask me. You can ask me for dog training guidance. You can ask me for any animal guidance, advice. You can just share thoughts with me. Share a letter to your beloved pet with me. Check in and say hi. Tell me why you love pets. Send me on a wild goose chase to go find out something about animals for you. And I'll do my best to do it. Let's be in touch. That's all I wanted to say. All right, let's get to our show and our guest. Now we really get to talk about some dog learning and dog training. Okay, that's the only hint I'm going to give you. I'm very excited. Get ready to geek out and nerd out about animal behavior with me and Travis Brorson. Oh, and by the way, yes, you do hear my kids in the background. They're right here. This is the best I can do, guys.
You know, the thing is, Travis, that I could talk about like dog behavior, dogs in general, for such an extensive amount of time that just to meet another person who does that makes me feel less alone.
You're not alone. You're not alone. I promise.
Not only did you win the Greatest American Dog Reality Show and were the big winner, but you also started the Greatest American Dog Trainers, your own company, and you're the host of Animal Planet's My Big Fat Pet Makeover. I always want to say My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and that's a different... a different show. My Big Fat Pet Makeover. Your children's books, Adventures with Travis and Presley. I was like screaming just because of your anti-bullying message, good behavior, good manners, building character. I'm a writer myself. I know what it takes to write a book. Just the way you connect with people on the animal, the bond with animals, the trust, what it's based on, what the dog training relationship is based on, changing together, not just changing your pet. Your pet products, CBD oils, which are, I think, the newest line of work that you're doing, but you have the biscuits and you have the Pete's mesquites, which I have used, and love. I can't believe that you have, on top of that, like next leveled it, and you work with Four Our Pups, which comes from For Our Kids, an organization which gives jobs, meaningful work to adults with disabilities, and that your entire brand is built on this very generous platform. You really know these animals. You really understand the science of behavior. You really understand the science of relationships. And that makes you such a valuable expert. So I'm super excited you're here. That was more than a minute, but hi.
Well, thank you. I'm just hoping that maybe when this is over, I can just get you to come and follow me around everywhere I go and do that little announcement to everybody that we meet. That would really be amazing because it sure made me feel good.
But I'm so glad.
Well, that's to say, right back at you. I mean, when I got the call about doing this, obviously heard fantastic things about you, and the things that you are doing are wonderful. You're sharing these stories and messages with people that are only going to, if nothing else, motivate them to continue to work towards having that bond and relationship with their pets. And
yeah,
that's what having dogs are all about. I mean, they're the back of our t-shirt say there's no doggies perfect. And it's not that their imperfection is what makes them so great, right? And people are the same way. And I think you're sharing that message across the world. And so, as much as you're bragging on me, I mean, we should stop down and take a minute. You're the one that set this up. So,
but that would make me just so uncomfortable. Please.
Well, I already did it. So we'll move on.
Oh, he's training me, people. thank you for saying that. But I do definitely feel a huge commitment to like bringing more people in through this show and making them feel totally accepted for wherever they fall on the animal loving spectrum. I don't want people to feel like they have to do it perfectly. They've never been able to make a mistake. Whatever they eat, wherever their dogs come from, whatever those choices were, I really believe that if people can identify with that, like very innate natural love that we have for animals, and dogs are just the epitome of it in my book. But if people can just identify with it and be allowed to identify with it, they'll lean in, and then they'll lean in a little more, and they'll just keep leaning in. And I want people to feel safe leaning in. And I want that community to catch them should they fall. And then we keep going and we keep loving them. Were you always this animal lover? I know you grew up on a farm and you really have a true respect and reverence for the animals, but I'd love to hear your story and how we came to here. I mean, Presley, of course, is integral, but I'm just so curious about you.
Sure. Yeah. Well, you kind of gave a perfect synopsis when you were bragging on me. Thank you again, by the way. It was very
my pleasure.
Very, very nice of you. So yeah, I grew up on a family farm and ranch in Perry, Oklahoma. You know, just doing farm kid stuff. I wasn't the typical kid that got to go to the swimming pool or go to the lake. I mean, from 10, 11, 12, Dad's waking me up at, 6 a.m. and we're driving the tractor, we're moving pickups from one field to the other, we're building fence, we're working cattle. I mean, I could go on and on of all the things I did not like about that, which was most of it. But it was the oldest. And so I think my dad just thought that's what I was there for. I was just there to work on the farm.
Sure.
But growing up there, I got really involved in agriculture activities, things like showing pigs, showing cattle all through high school, being a part of 4-H and FFA. But I will tell you, when I was in the eighth grade, I had my first like real pets. So we always had cats and dogs, but they were always outdoors, right? If one got in the house, somebody left the door open and somebody was in trouble, right? So we just did not have indoor pets. They did not exist. So
it's a different life.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So I have to say, I couldn't relate to people who had indoor pets when I was that age, but that's okay. Right.
Yeah.
So I had these pigs that I showed as part of my FFA, program. And they really did, taking care of them every day, feeding them, watering them, walking them, really things you do with your dog. But I was doing it with pigs, and pigs are one of the smartest animals on the planet, believe it or not.
I'm so jealous right now. I'm having like the envy of all envies.
Well, they didn't smell great.
Pigs.
They didn't smell great. So you but during COVID, we all had masks on. So that would have been nice back then. Nobody showed me those at that time. taking care of these pigs, like they just became my friends, right? I mean, they were my pals. And at the end of the showtime, the way it works is, I mean, those are market animals, which means when they're done, you sell them off to market. Right. I guess I never thought that far in advance. So after the very last show, we loaded my pigs up in a trailer and Dad was like, that's it. Say goodbye. And I was just like, oh, my. And I remember in the arena or in the barn sitting in the stall and just bawling my eyes out like they're taking my friends away. And I just at that time I was in the eighth grade. I'll never forget it. I said, I will never in my life allow myself to love an animal this bad because it hurts so much, right? And I just was like, I'm never going to do it again, never. And so it was like ninth grade, 10th grade, 11th grade, 12th grade, off to college, still never had a pet that I would let into my life because I was like, I can't go through that again, right? I mean, I'm a guy. I can't cry, you know, just tough. And but it honestly, it just hurt. It just hurt so bad.
I hear that.
Yeah. And so all of that, I really kind of shut that out as far as just like letting animals in. And honestly, like, not to get super real, but I think I did it like in life. Right. Where I didn't allow myself to get real close to other humans, whether it was a girlfriend or obviously good friends and buddies, like that's a little different. But I think I did even shut out those, you know, really close relationships. Yeah. I think it kind of taught me to, hey, don't go all in, you know, because it'll hurt too bad. So all that to say, graduated Oklahoma State with a degree in agricultural communication, studied animal science, and I didn't know what to do. So I moved. Well, let me back up just shortly, briefly. My freshman year, just so I can connect the dots, studying agriculture, not really liking it, go to a play as part of my humanities course. And I'm like, oh my gosh, theater acting. Like, what is this? Like, this is awesome, right? Mm-hmm. So I auditioned for my first play. Somehow, out of, I don't know how, at Oklahoma State, I got the role, the lead role in this play. Of course, I was not a major in that, in the theater college. So all these theater majors are, you know, totally
who's
TO'd.
That guy?
Yeah, totally TO'd, like just beyond. So I didn't make a lot of friends that year. But I fell in love with it. And I remember that summer I went home and I sat down with my parents. I have three younger siblings. And I remember telling them going into my sophomore year, I said, you know what, Mom, Dad, I really love this acting. I think I'm going to change my degree from agriculture to acting, right? And there was like that dead silence, right, that you see in the movies. And they both kind of looked at each other. Yeah. And they looked back at me and they were like, no, I don't think you are. I was like, okay, that didn't go how I thought it was going to go.
That was a negatory. Yeah, that was not going to happen.
That was a negatory. That's exactly right. So I realized I could get a minor in theater, right? That's not a big deal.
Just sure. More classes. Work. Why not?
More work. Why not? So I ended up getting a minor in theater, did a lot more plays, even did a musical, which they actually turned my mic off because I couldn't sing at all. So they must have been hard up for talent. I don't know what that says. And fast forward, graduate, go home to work on the farm, don't know what else to do.
Yeah.
There for about a month, run one of the pickups into the back of the hay swather because I'm totally not paying attention. Oh. And my dad, like, you know, teaches Sunday school every Sunday, never heard him say a cuss word in his life, comes barreling out of the tractor, running over the pickup, and few choice words that I've never heard come out of his mouth. And the end of it, he goes, what are you doing? And I'm like, my mind's not here, Dad. Like, I just graduated college. I want to go out into the world. You know, I want to do something. And he said, okay. And so that night, I felt like it was the same situation. I sat down again at the table and told my parents I wanted to move to LA and be an actor. And
Travis,
it was like it was on repeat. They looked at each other and then looked back at me. But this time they said, okay, you know what? We will support you. Not financially, but emotionally, we'll be there for you. And I was like, sign me up. I'll take it. So,
you know what I hear through this story, this thread of that I just appreciate so much? Like, first of all, because you grew up on this farm ranch life, because you grew up with a work ethic immediately and it wasn't asked of you, it was expected of you. It's what I see in you now. Like, you have all these projects, you're doing all these things, you have an empire, like, you know what work ethic means. It's part of your DNA. And how your parents were like, we'll support you, but you better fall back on that work ethic. You better lean on it. That's one thing I hear. The second thing is, what a true testament to who you are, though. Just a nod to who you are as a sensitive person, as an empath, as a feeler, and what you do with animals, that you were not a theater major and then just watched a play and was like, wait a minute, I feel something. I feel this calling. I'm going to try. And then you did. Because that same boy who loved these pigs and had that deep feeling. And by the way, how we do one thing is how we do everything. So of course, when you shut off to the animal love, you shut off to love, period. Of course, there was, at least in your mind, you believed you could. What of that boy who could love that way, That's the boy who's the lead in the show, right? That's the guy. That's the person who has. And you, Travis, that you have the work ethic and that ability, that deep love that you had at your that at that young age you needed to protect, to then be an actor and just put it all out there is just extraordinary. It's just so cool. I want to hear more. And then was there an animal? How did this in LA? What happened? Yep. Where did we get to the dog or the animal that then was like, oh, shit, all the pig yeah. wall is coming
yeah.
down.
The pig wall has fallen. So I moved to Los Angeles, like all those actors did, 4 years of Meisner. That fourth year at the end, I finally got my first job. My first job was on a show called JAG, which was years and years ago.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was great. And so I got to do that. I was on Desperate Housewives, got to be Bree Vandekamp's attorney. Was in Bone. A lot of fun stuff, right? So I actually got to work as an actor, which was great. But I say it was great in the sense that it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. It was before social media. We didn't have it was MySpace. We didn't have the phones that you could get on. And that seems like so long ago. And then 2008, there was the writer strike, right? So mm-hmm. I was working, didn't have to have a second job. Writer strike hits and all the actors are like, well, now what? And that's really when reality television started to take off because they could do it for cheap. It wasn't part of the union, right? And everybody wanted to be on TV. So this reality boost started. Everything with Survivor, Big Brother, all of these different shows. So CBS was doing a show called The Greatest American Dog. Basically, they were taking five owners and their dogs, putting them in a house. They were going to live together, eat together, sleep together, train together, and then go through different challenges 1 week at a time for a 10-week period. Now, I knew nothing about this show. My dog, Presley was my dog at the time. The way I got him was I was back home visiting in Oklahoma. My sister and her family had found this boxer that was just roaming the countryside. Obviously, somebody, dumped him. She picks him up, puts him in the backyard with her female, calls the animal shelter. 3 days later, it took them to come and get the dog. They come and get it. Well, what do you know? Her dog wasn't fixed. He wasn't fixed. This was, 10, 15 years ago. She's not thinking about that. Now we have puppies, right? So I'm in LA, writer strike. What am I supposed to do? Well, what happened in COVID? Let's just all go get dogs, right? What a great idea. It's just that easy. Let's just do it. So there I was, guy with the dog, pig wall up. And Katya, I did it all wrong. I mean, I had no idea what I was doing. I put him in the crate when he was in trouble. I hollered at him when he ran off. I used every device possible to try to shorten the amount of time it would take me to train him to do all these things I wanted. And obviously they all backfired. They all backfired.
Guilty of all of it myself.
Yeah. Like I just didn't know any better. And I didn't think to call anybody to get any help. So one day we were hiking Runyon Canyon. I'm with Presley. He's off leash. Should have never been off leash. He takes off down the mountain. This lady comes running around the hill and runs up to me and she's like, is that your dog? And like, part of me was like, is this my opportunity to say he's not mine? Like, I don't know what's happening. And about that time, Presley runs back, which he never did. And he's licking my hand. And she's like, that one right there. And I kind of paused and she was like, he is great. And I said, well, then yes, he is mine. If you think he's great, he's mine. And that's where it all started. She said, have you heard about this new reality show? Obviously, I had not. They had already cast a young man from Texas with an accent, single with a dog, and he had to drop out 2 weeks before the taping of the show. And so they literally had headhunters out there trying to fill this gap. Well, here I am, mid to late 20s, guy from Oklahoma, single with a crazy boxer. What better for a reality show, right? So we went and met with the production team at CBS, and the first thing they said was, they looked at me and my boxer Presley was climbing all over me. And they're like, is your dog even trained? And I was like, no,
not at all.
So I thought I was here. I'm not a trainer. I have no idea what I'm doing. Well, they didn't have time to find anybody else. They just assumed we'd be the laughing stock of the whole show. So we were accepted as the 12th pair to enter this competition. We went and saw a dog trainer for 2 weeks, gave us a crash course on, you know, just how to live life with your dog. And he was like, hey, a great trainer, by the way, in Los Feliz named Steve Brooks. Still talk with him today. But he's really who set us on our path. Without him, I don't know where we would be. But for anybody who has a boxer, they're clowns trapped in dog suits. So I had a tall order ahead of me. The first day on the show, my dog had never seen water. He runs into the backyard, jumps into the pool. He can't walk on water. What was he doing? Starts to sink. I pull him out by the collar. And the next thing you know, they tell us that the winner is going to get $250,000. And I just hung my head. I'm like, this is, what are we doing? Like, get me out of here. I'm just going to get embarrassed. But I was a competitor. And, you know, yeah. So we went through this crazy reality show with these wonderful people. And I just, honestly, Katya, I just watched what they did. Tried it with Presley, and if it worked, we would repeat it. And if it didn't work, we'd move on to something else. And the biggest takeaways were making sure that everything was fun. Make sure it was a game, right? And and to keep it short. Something I didn't have before that show was patience. And I'm telling you, if you don't have patience and you have a dog, you might reconsider, because it just, everything takes time.
Everything takes time. And I'm baffled at how, like, we can't, if we're open, we can't deny what's coming. Like, there you are walking on Runyon Canyon on a hike, and they're like, we need someone. And then the next thing you know, you're on this show at a time that you needed to be on the show because of the dog that had the puppy. I mean, it just, you can't plan those sorts of things, right? Like, those are just the things that bring you to your story. But what an openness you came with, that you were like, I'll just do what they're doing and try to make it fun.
Yeah.
Which is probably a really good way to start anything.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know?
Totally. And so, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, as we went through that experience, so here's that, how they put it to me best. They said, when we went on that show, Presley and I were at a fork in the road, right? He was a year and 3 months old. I never believe a dog is too old to be trained, but we were definitely at an impasse.
Yeah.
And I could either get it figured out and we could go down this one road together as a team, or we could stay divided and he would go this way and I would go that way, and we would have a life with pets that a lot of people endure, unfortunately. But the way we went about navigating those challenges, and who cared about winning, just making sure that it was a positive experience, really changed the way that our relationship was healed in a lot of ways. We became one, right?
Yeah.
And so as we navigated through this, and that was one of the reasons that in the end, you know, it came down to Presley and a little Maltese, and we ended up winning the show. And it wasn't because he was the smartest dog. It wasn't because I was the best trainer. It was because we started at a point where a relationship didn't look possible.
Yeah.
And we ended at a life-changing experience, right, that showed the world that if you really want something bad enough, and you said it in the beginning of our interview, that if you want something bad enough, anything is literally possible, right? And so after the show was over, like, he obviously changed my life. To bring it full circle, we talked about the relationships. He brought the walls down. He not only brought the walls down with me as far as he and I were concerned, but he brought the walls down in my relationships in general. He really, you know, yeah, taught me how to, it's okay to be vulnerable, right? It's okay to open up and to share feelings and all of those things that will make me cry if I keep talking about them.
I know, me too.
but I say that because it wasn't just a few years later until I met my now wife. And if I hadn't have gone through that experience, our relationship wouldn't be what it is today. Right.
Totally.
So it's. So when you talk about dogs changing lives, it's not just like a dog came into my life and, you know, made me some money and made me happy and we did all these adventures. Like, it it steered me in a way that now I can help other people bridge the gap, right? Jump over some hurdles, fill in the blanks, provide them with the tools so that they can have the same relationship.
Travis, I love talking to you about dogs. I can just hear and feel your great admiration for them. I want to hear more, but first we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Now, remember, I'm your non-aggro animal person, and I love you no matter what, guys, but I still got to do right by the animals. So if you're looking to bring a new pet home, I urge you to check out adoptapet.com. It's like a dating website, but for shelter pets and people. They make it easy and, dare I say, delightful to search for a pet to rescue. So I hope you'll scour their website or visit your local animal shelters when you're ready to welcome a new furry family member. That's what I'm so drawn to. Even your Instagram shorts, your training tips, or your Monday myths. I think they're called Monday myths.
Yeah.
I don't know why. But these, oh God, you did one on like, there's no such thing as the harness that's going to save your walks. I'm like, thank you. Where's Travis been? Where was he when I needed him most? But
totally,
you know, I want the same thing. I want people to have a transformational experience with an animal. I mean, it is my agenda, and it's not because I want them to eat the way I eat or volunteer at the shelter or foster pets, the things that I love. Like, it has nothing to do with me at all, actually. It's because of the exact things you're talking about. It has healed my life. I wouldn't be a mom. I wouldn't be a partner, a wife. I wouldn't be the kind of daughter who moved back to Texas to be with her parents. And the only way I knew how to thank them for what they've done to me is give them time with their grandkids. Yeah. I wouldn't be that person, that open, that conscious, had I not been changed by my dog and the subsequent many animals that I fostered that have driven my family crazy, but that I love, Travis. And just that concept they have. I mean, I am who I am. My entire life is possible because of Ophelia, my old beagle. And I hear what you're saying. I love that you were able to bring it full circle. I love what Presley did for you and what you did for him. But more than anything, I love this idea that you said we were one. So like even the way you trained, like the buy-in he had to listen to you was based on a oneness. I mean,
well, that's and you think
game
about
changer.
It too. Yeah. Like after, I mean, I made all these mistakes, right? I treated him like terribly, right? And yet at the end, he still was like,
he forgave you.
Yeah.
Like, and he did it over.
Unconditional. And that's people all the time say, my dog did it because they're mad at me. No, they will never actually be mad at you. They will vibe your energy, but they don't have the capacity to be mad because of their unconditional love. You are their thing, right? You are their person. And so, yeah. So to your point, that to me is the life lesson that I learned was I'm human. I'll make mistakes. They're dogs. They'll make mistakes, but we have to have the mindset of unconditional love and that people are going to mess up. People are going to disappoint us. Our dogs are going to disappoint us. But in the grand scheme of things, what are we here on earth to do? What is our life about? And if we are not driving to help other people and improve their lives and their businesses and their relationships, then what are we doing?
Your videos are funny. You're funny and you're engaging and you're entertaining about something that I'm a nerd. I love to read dog behavior books. I mean, Don't Shoot the Dog, I've read so many times that my husband's like, what are you highlighting anymore? The whole thing is bright yellow. But with these dogs, we're able to do it in a simpler way. It's much harder to train my husband. I've been trying for 10 years. We've gotten a little bit of progress. You're not dismissing the needs of the animals in your training, which is so important. And I guess I wanted to ask you, I know that Presley seems like the one who really changed you. Of course, he gave you your life and also some healing with your childhood. It sounds like, not to put words in your mouth.
Sure.
I'm really good at putting words in people's mouths. That's why I like working with dogs.
That's it.
But
that's it.
But I guess I just wanted to say, like, What frustrates you the most? Like, how do we do that paradigm shift? How do we achieve that paradigm shift that, like, it's not just Travis fix my dog. I don't want him to need. I want him to do what I want. How do we shift that? Like, what's your mission here? How are we doing that? Can you help me?
Yeah, of course. I would love to. Oh, my gosh. So
I can then tell everyone what you say?
Yes. Yes, you can. I give you full permission. You make it your own, whatever you need to do. You know, so a lot of people I meet in the industry, dog trainers, pet professionals, a lot of them got into it because they have a true passion and love for animals, right? For their pets, for dogs, cats, whatever it is. I have to be totally honest with you. I will never love someone else's pet as much as them, right? I've been to plenty of people's homes that I'm like, I'm not sure if I could love that dog, right? And I'm being facetious, obviously, but I say that because I didn't get into this business for my love of the pets. I got into this business for my passion to help people not make the same mistakes that I did. Because I lived it and I made the mistakes, and I was just blessed enough to experience what it feels like when you get it turned around, when you do it right, when you connect with that animal, and the way it can, again, not just change your relationship, but literally change your life. For me, that is what I'm passionate about. So as you ask that question, for me, it's the root of the problem rarely is the dog. I won't say it never is, but it's rarely the dog. It always starts with the human. Mm-hmm. If pet professionals, if trainers like myself cannot connect or help the owner, we have no chance with the dog. No chance. You could send the dog to me. I could do my magic. I could give it back. But if the owner continues to do the same thing, don't waste your money and don't send me your dog. I'm sorry, right. But I wouldn't be able to help you. So
it has to be you at the end of the day. You, the owner, changing with your dog every time, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. So for me, that's why I got into this, was because I made those mistakes, and what a great opportunity. And one of the biggest mistakes that I see other trainers make is going to help owners and their pets and unintentionally making them feel guilty or bad about the mistakes that they have made, right?
Yes.
So when I speak and do different things and talk to other trainers, I say, whatever you do, that owner has to be on your side. You guys have to be on the same team or you will never help them with their problems. And that just couldn't, I mean, I think some of the best dog trainers out there are actually better with people than they are dogs. Because like I said, if you can't make that connection and get them on your side, and every person is different, every dog is different, your approach is different. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like this must be what a therapist feels like with families and the husband saying one thing, the wife saying the other thing, or maybe the husband saying one thing, the other husband saying the one thing, or wife and wife. I mean, it doesn't matter, but you are literally have a dynamic that is like, okay, let's all take a deep breath. All the time while the dog's just laying on the bed.
Totally, because it is that. It is familial, and everything familial has much more to it than we are. You know, there's all this subtext going on. I'm a dog trainer. I would say I'm more of a dog coach. I call myself a dog coach because honestly, I do more. It's honestly more listening to people and being like, oh, so this is your expectation. Oh, this is a need that you have. And it's not getting looked at, and somehow it's becoming about the dog. Like, there's so much more. It's almost life coachy, and I'm a really good dog trainer for some things, and I subscribe to literally everything the way you're positive based, the way you focus on the bond, everything, the way you make it a game. I'm like, oh my God, like I want to work for him. But so often it is just letting people identify something that's missing in their lives or in their family dynamics that maybe doesn't have that much to do with the dog. And I'm not a psychotherapist, but it's much more than, it's never just about the dog. I'm so with you on that. It's a smart thing to identify. What kind of dog would you be if you were a dog? I am curious because I know you're a boxer guy, and now as you talk about dogs, I'm thinking to myself, what would he be? What kind of dog would Travis be?
Yeah, well, I definitely would be a mixed breed. I don't think that I would, I don't think I would just be one. So I kind of see myself as, well, see, so I've never felt like I was the most talented. I've definitely never been the most smart. So there has to be some like Chihuahua in me. They're like, you know, 6 pounds, but they think they're a Great Dane, right? In their mind. You know, there's just no fear, even though you're like, you could get squashed by really about anything. So I think there's a little Chihuahua in there. I think there is some boxer, right? I think there's that clown in me that I'm totally. Just, I'm always looking. And this is why you look at all the things that I've done and it looks great. It looks awesome. But I always look back and go, what if I just would have picked one? And just really focused on it and saw it all the way through. Because that's what when they locked me, well, not locked me, but they put us in that house in Agoura Hills and said, you can't leave. No cell phones, no computers, no nothing. This is your mission. I mean, I was like, what? And I was able to embrace it and really focus on it. I'm a right-brained person, right? So I'm like, where's the shiniest next thing? I'm just going to go over and do this. And oh, this is getting boring. Now let me go do this. So I think there's that boxer in me.
Totally.
But then the drive of like, you know, a lab or a golden retriever where I'm just like, let's just go, 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 go. Like my wife is like, you have ADD, like no doubt.
I can feel that energy off of Zoom. I'm like, but I think that's like, I'm like, go.
I can't.
Where are you going?
I'm like, I'm about to like tip over here. No, but
oh, you must play anyway. With your lab Chip all day long then.
Oh, he loves it. And he was a rescue and he has a sad story like a lot of dogs. So he has his own issues. And I wish I was doing more for him like we all do. But yeah, I spent as much time. Then I have a white boxer that was rescued as well. And
he's gorgeous.
He's done a lot of the performing now that Presley has crossed over Rainbow Bridge. So they've been great.
But Ophelia, my beagle rescue, my first one, is going to be like 17-ish. And I'm wondering, how do you prepare for the goodbye of the one that changed you? I know, I'm guessing the anticipation is worse. I'm not sure. And if you don't feel comfortable about it, comfortable talking about it and don't want to cry, I understand. But I would say selfishly, one of the reasons I wanted to start this podcast was to talk to passionate people who love animals and just listen to them. And whether on the Zoom or off the Zoom, then ask them, what do I do to get ready? Because I live in fear.
Yeah.
I'm scared.
Yeah. And it is a scary time. And I think it's, you know, I'll give you a couple tips and a couple pieces of advice.
Thank you, Travis.
The first one is don't have any regrets. You know, a lot of people say, well, I regret not doing this. I regret not doing that. Your dog isn't going to move on and pass on holding on to what you did or didn't do, right? It doesn't happen that way. Know that what you do from today until it's time to say goodbye is all your dog is experiencing in that moment, right? Mm. So just cherish the time that you have left. I would say that that's the overall encompassing. Don't change your life. Don't not go do things because, well, I can't leave, something might happen. You know what? You still have to live your life. You don't need to feel guilty to continue to do those things. The other thing that I would tell you is don't rely on your vet or somebody else to tell you when the time is right.
Right? Yeah.
Your dogs, our pets, they will tell us when the time is right. What you have to do is know that you know your dog well enough to know when the quality of life isn't the same. When you look into their eyes and you don't see, right, what you used to see, it's time. And no one is going to tell you. I asked the vet, what would you do? Well, if it was your dog, would you do it? Like, they can't tell you that. And if they do, shame on them, right? Because you have to make that decision for yourself, right? So those would be the biggest tips that I would tell you. And at the end of the day, there's nothing that's going to make it hurt less. There's not.
It's so interesting hearing you say these things because now that I'm facing it, when my husband tries to like make me feel better or my kids, I almost get angry. Like, I don't want to feel better. I want to feel sad with her. I want to be on an island alone with her of love where I feel all of it with her. And even the hard, even the sad. So hearing you say that's okay. And you don't have to feel guilty for when you want off the island to go away for a beer or a whatever is also okay. Just the permission that you're giving me is very, very appreciated. And I think I needed to hear it. And I think I needed to hear it from you. It's also not lost on me that your dog training is not only about trusting your dog, but also trusting yourself to know your dog. And that's a huge gift that you give people. So thank you for giving it to me right now.
Of course. Thank you.
Before we go, please tell everyone, where can we follow you, love you, support you, and cheer you on? How?
Absolutely. So you can follow us on Instagram. We're actually headed out to, we're shooting 4 more episodes of the Discovery Plus show. So we'll be doing updates. We have celebrity judges coming on. It's going to be a great rest of the season. So please follow on Instagram @ Travis Brorsen, TravisBrorsen. Awesome. We'll be doing lots of stuff there. We just relaunched our new website. It's www.travisbrorsen.com. We have all of our products on there. What's happening? Please check that out anytime. Other than that, thank you. And I can't wait to come back. And if I'll make a deal, I'll come back and do a training episode if I get to brag on you for the first minute the next time. That would be the deal we have to make.
I'm going to be like, there's going to be just a disassembled face, like Mr. Potato Head with no face. I'm going to be faceless over here like, I can't handle it.
Thank you, Katya. Thank you for the opportunity to do it. And thank you for the platform that you are providing for everybody out there. I think you're doing more than you realize. So thank you.
Thank you all so much for tuning into The Animal That Changed You, a weekly podcast that features extraordinary people talking about the extraordinary animals that changed their lives. Don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave a review. Search for us on Instagram @ The Animal That Changed You or on Twitter @ TATCY Podcast and tell your friends. And if you've got a story about an animal that changed your life, tell me about it. Message me, tag me. I would love to hear. I appreciate you. I love your animals and I'll see you next time.
For more great iRaw podcasts, visit iRawPod.com. That's IROARPOD.com.